Yo, man. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Evening.
Good night.
Juice.
Yeah. Maybe a small cupful of peanut butter pretzels from Trader Joe's.
All right. Or maybe, you know what I do actually, even when I'm eating healthy? I don't know if this could be a dangerous road for you, but and I don't know if I'm losing. You're losing weight more rapidly than me, so what do I know? But I do also an occasional PBJ on whole grain. Just some.
Oh, that's gonna happen.
Some peanut butter.
When I get
some,
down, that's gonna happen.
It's not like you don't. I don't have three. I have one. It's
organic,
my meal. Yeah, organic
and peanut butter
and a glass of almond milk. Just some almond milk and a PBJ.
Straight up.
Straight almond milk.
Ugh.
It's good. Almond milk's good. There's Brittany. She's insane.
All right.
So I do want to talk about the new guy you have organizing your music, because I find that to be very amusing. By the way, Saif, also I should say before we get to our first guest, I should ask you if you're okay with this as we continue to push Juan Epstein. You know, of course, we're coming to L.A.
Yeah.
April 27th for the Juan Epstein social.
Living that life. So, Santa Monica life.
Yeah. I talked to my boy Dave Appleton. He said Zanzibar is very well known for being a spot for dope music. Like, that's
right.
The vibe.
Okay.
So and it's in Santa Monica. Just good vibes.
Yeah.
Come and knock on our door.
We'll be waiting for you.
Take a step that is new.
I would like to see that. What was that bitch's name that lived upstairs? Rhonda? Was it Rhonda? First season?
The
cougar that was always after Jack Tripper?
Yeah, that wasn't Rhonda. Rhonda?
Yeah, it was Rhonda.
It was Rhonda?
Yeah, hey. The older chick. The cougar.
Really?
That's Dante, yeah. In case you're wondering. That's my friend Dante Nero.
Dante Nero's here, by the way.
What's going on, y'all?
Hold on, Dante.
Yeah, hold on. You're not on yet.
Hold on, man. We're getting to you.
But I did respect the fact check.
Well, of course. He's on point.
Gotta
That's what this
that.
Guy does. Now, but I did want to ask you, as we're making this movement, going to Los Angeles, we're going to start trying to take this Juan Epstein thing to the level it should be finally. Are you okay with things like, let me be quick. We've grown over the past few years. We're averaging between 30,000 and 40,000 listens per episode, right?
I respect
so
that.
As we grow, we get new people who come to us for different things.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk to the original Juan Epstein heads now, it's really a few thousand people, and now way more people listen, and they love the podcast, but they may
thank
not
you.
Love us. Well, thank you. But then, like, I got a tweet yesterday, and I know I should ignore these tweets, and you would, but I don't. It said, yo, that Smoke Dizza Juan Epstein was a waste of my time. I want my life back. No one gives a fuck about you guys. I only listen for the interviews. And I replied, you probably would ignore that and laugh. I replied, perfect. Never listen again, please. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Like, because if you're not interested in us, I don't need your extra listen.
It's not the interview podcast. It's the Juan Epstein podcast.
And if that includes an interview, it includes an interview. If that includes a big-time rapper, that's great. If it includes a weirdo...
Why would you click on it? Why would you click on it? It says Smoke Dizza.
And I describe it. I say it's us sitting around talking shit.
You're not a Smoke Dizza fan.
Apparently not.
You click on it. Halfway through, you're still there. You listen all the way to the end to go, this sucked.
What were you waiting to happen?
There's a lot of podcasts I like. I like Pete Holmes.
Yep.
I like The Champs. I like Marc Maron sometimes. I like some Doug watches movies or whatever it is. Dante's podcast, which is called
Beige Phillip.
See, Beige Phillip. I don't listen to all of them. I look for the names I like. And if I'm doing something where I have more time, then I'll click on a random one. Like, I listen to this chick. Who's a chick from... Zach and so-and-so make a porn.
Yeah, yeah. Zach and Mary make a porn.
Yeah, you know, remember, you know that girl? She's like in all those Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah.
I don't know nothing about her. But I was like, fuck it. I'm going to listen to it. I clicked on it. I liked it.
Her podcast?
She was on Marin.
Oh, she was on Marin.
Marin.
Yeah.
And it was good. And it was like, I was like, I gambled that day. I gambled.
And it worked out. But then at the same time, if you rock out with a podcast, hopefully... You rock out with the actual podcast. It's not just about, I want to hear the interview.
I'm listening to Pete Holmes, who I love. And in the middle, I'll be like, I don't really like this one. And I'll stop it. And I don't go and then comment on Pete Holmes' site.
And you don't go diss him on his own site.
No.
Hip Hop Mike just brought me a latte. Thanks. Hip Hop Mike, thank you. You're the best. You hanging out for a little while?
Yeah, Johnny's here too.
Oh, Johnny Nunez is here? Oh, you can bring in Johnny too. Yes, you can bring him in. So
fuck him.
So fuck that guy. I just wanted your permission for me to tell people to fuck off and never listen to our podcast again.
Yeah, fuck it.
So let's get to our guest. First guest, We have my man Dante Nero. Have a seat, Johnny.
What's going on?
We have my man Dante Nero in the building.
Yeah, yeah. What's going on?
Saif, how would you describe Dante Nero? Not physically, because he's bizarre looking physically.
He's a comedian. He's an actor. He's an all-around cool guy. Very, very, very opinionated on the dealings of women.
Well, he was also, he worked with Patrice O'Neal.
Yes. I was on his podcast, which is in his house, which is in the middle of Brooklyn. Like
Crown Heights.
You live in Crown Heights?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a shame.
And the day I went was the Junior West Indian Day Parade.
Yeah. Children's?
Yeah. Hmm. And I had to do a lot of roundabouts and argue with cops and walk a lot of blocks because I couldn't get to his block. Hmm. And then he goes, oh, yeah, I forgot that was today.
So that's Dante Nero.
Yeah.
Dante, as part of your introduction, is there anything you want to say to the world?
I'm trying to save lives, son.
Just one day at a time.
Just trying to save lives.
He's been asking to be on this podcast for a while.
Yeah.
Why? Why did you want to do this?
Saif came on mine. I met you and I did something some time ago, and I think there's brothers out there who are in pain that I'm trying to help out.
And you think we could help you reach more brothers who need help?
Absolutely. I'd love to have you on mine, too, to chop it up.
To try to help reach people. And you do a comedy podcast.
Well, it's really, it's a relationship podcast with a comedy.
But it's funny.
Angle, yeah. Okay. But
the other night we were talking at the Stand Up New York Comedy Club. And he was dropping knowledge on me, like dropping knowledge, knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Dropping knowledge.
Gems. Add gems. Crazy.
You're taking gems out the crown.
I've since used those gems in my dealings with women.
Already.
Does it work?
A lot of it has worked.
Authentic.
I didn't use all of it yet.
What dealings with women are you?
Just the way you talk, approach.
Women.
You're
talking about your wife specifically?
No, not my wife at all. Me and my wife relationship is great.
This is the other women.
These are just hot chalachas in the street.
Here's my question. Why do you still care to work on that? Don't you throw it to the caution to the wind?
It's important.
It's something I always wanted. I always wanted to be able to walk up to a chick in a club and spit game, and not game, because game is life. But I just
one of his gems.
I always wanted to walk up and just bag a bitch.
So even if you're not gonna be able to have sex, you want to be able to just be able to bag.
Oh no, I don't want to have sex with these nasty
hoochie mamas. But you want to be able to be in the ball game.
Yes, I want to be able to bag.
I want to interject this. It's just as important to have your game when you're married than when you're not. Because if the fact that you have options outside of your marriage is what keeps woman.
A lot of the things you were saying.
He's talking real.
A lot of the things you were saying the other night already apply to me and my wife's relationship. I'm just not as blunt as you are.
Right, right.
But a lot of the things I already have in place, and it's why, because I got out of a fucked up relationship,
right.
I laid a lot of the law down early in my now marriage.
Right.
And it's why it works. It's why my marriage is so successful and our relationship is so successful, because I laid the law down early.
I hear a book coming.
Yeah, this is
book.
Well, what's funny is when you say you had a rough situation and then you lay it down hard body now, is the reason why you don't have the problems is the same way. So if you look at yourself from where you were when you were all twisted,
yeah,
and now you would probably think, man, that if you were looking at yourself as you were somebody else, you'd be like, wow, that dude is hard body. He's blunt.
Yeah.
But the same way you're looking at yourself then, you're looking at me the same way.
Right.
And if you go hard body, if you get the knockout in the first 5 seconds of the fight, you won no matter what.
I want to hear more about this specifically.
Yeah, we'll get more into this.
So before we do that, because we're doing a bit of an interesting vibe today, I want to introduce our other guest who's hanging out with us today. Because we just wanted to bring in two
experts.
Interesting, talented, need-to-know New Yorkers. So we got one of the illest photographers in the game. He's the dude.
Shout it out.
Don't touch that. I have gum in there. You don't want to touch it.
Shout it out by Votto.
That is an ill shout out.
A lot of other artists, too.
Yeah, that was
dope. The Votto one is, how does it go?
As a pose for Johnny Nunes.
Why did you say your name wrong?
The way you said it is hard.
As I pose for Johnny Nunes.
But your name's Johnny Nunes, isn't it?
Nunes.
You should have a swiggly over it.
Yeah.
Johnny Nunes, ladies and gentlemen, one of the illest, most known celebrity photographers in New York City.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you, guys.
I don't even want to call him a photographer. He's like a photogo thug.
Oh. We can tell stories about the first time I met Johnny Nunes.
Johnny, you
lunatic.
Are insane in venues, parties, concerts, shows, anything where there needs to be pictures taken. You'll be sitting around having a conversation and suddenly somebody will grab you and pull you into a picture.
Yes. That's Johnny.
That's Johnny.
That's Johnny. And the first time he did it at my birthday party, I didn't know who he was. I didn't know why he was pulling me. He scolded me for not knowing who I was. And then, but within the same sentence as scolding me for not knowing who he was, called me Paul. And then, so I was, do you remember that?
Wow, yeah.
That was a long time ago, like 6 years ago. And then as time went on, I saw Johnny at everything. And I will say, you're right, photograph thug is the right way to put it because he gets the job done. I think it's really funny too because most places, everyone there knows Johnny.
Yo,
but then at the same time, just the same way we operate, there's going to be that night when you're at a venue and the people there don't realize who you are and they're trying to fucking give him a hard time. And he's like, guys, Johnny has to be on stage to take the picture.
You get into any venue?
Almost. Almost.
Just what? I mean, by face or you don't call and set it up?
Sometimes I get in by face. Sometimes I'm on the list. And sometimes I got to do some guerrilla tactics.
But have you ever, there's a lot of places in New York where you just walk up and they go, oh, Johnny's here. And then you did walk right in.
Sometimes.
You might not even want to take pictures that night. You just might be using your camera to get into the hot spots.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, there's a lot of times, like, you know, when I was first starting, there was a nightclub called Lotus. And Interscope had a big after Grammy party there. And I had to think of a way to get in. I wasn't on the list. I was still fresh, and Snoop Doggy Dogg, Gwen Stefani, Bono from YouTube, YouTube was there, and I was just trying to figure out how am I going to get in here because I'm not even on the list, you know? So as people were pulling the dividers and bodyguards were starting to argue, I noticed that there was starting to become a big ruckus on one side.
Yeah.
So I did the old put one foot over the horse barricade, and then next thing you know, when I put the other foot over, I immediately ran behind the bodyguards, and I was like, nobody's getting in! Back up! Make sure they back up, all right? And then I walked in. I got in. And then when I was in South Africa, and Damon Dash and Naomi Campbell had taken me out there to shoot their travelings, and Damon told me, yo, John, we're going to go to Nelson Mandela's 85th birthday. So I'm like, yes, I get a chance to finally meet Nelson Mandela. And the next thing you know, like the day of, he tells me, Johnny, there's only like four tickets. There's only like four tickets, Robert De Niro, Naomi Campbell, myself, and Naomi Campbell's niece. So I'm sorry you can't come. So I was like, damn, I'm like in Africa. I'm coming all the way from Bushwick, Greenpoint.
You're already in Africa?
Yeah, we was in South Africa.
He was already there, but he just couldn't get to the party.
So now I'm like, wait a minute. I said, Dame, you know, if you could just let me try. He's like, Johnny, we're in Africa. This place is like maybe 2 hours. You can go through jungles. There's no, you know, street corner lamps. This is like Africa. I'm like, yo, trust me. I've come too far. So next thing I know, I'm in the car with them, and we're driving. First checkpoint comes. They've got like metal detectors for the bottom of the car. And they're like quickly saying, tickets out, please. Now I'm the fifth person plus the driver. And Naomi Campbell just whisks the tickets. And next thing we made it. I'm like, oh, thank you, God. Mm-hmm. Next thing the second checkpoint comes and they're like, I need to see everybody's face and all the tickets. And Naomi Campbell's like, yo, you see the tickets? I don't even see nobody's face. Come on, driver, let's go. Mm-hmm. Now I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
Trying to help you, or she just annoyed? Yeah.
She knows she's helping. Yeah. Okay.
And I'm just sitting.
Do they know who she is?
Like a Project Roach, you know, praying that they don't see me, you know. Next thing I know, we get to the third checkpoint. I see the AK-47s. I hear the anorexic, you know, not fed German shepherds barking. But I also hear African drums. And I'm like, yo, this is it. I could hear it, you know. And through the grace of God, Dame's like, yo, Jay, I told you, man, this is it. You know, I can't help you from here. So I'm like, all right. As they were all going that way, next thing I know, I just jump. When I hear the door close, I slam my door. There were these high weed grasses.
Oh,
on the
my
left
God.
Side. I jumped up in that bitch. And as I was
driving.
Wait,
they went out one side and you went out the other side?
Yeah. And I closed the door when they closed their door so the security guards couldn't see as well as the dogs. So as the driver started to drive to make a U-turn, I'm in the grass with the car.
God.
So I finally see the little divider that allows you to be on the other side where African drummers are screaming Mandela and all these other words. And I'm like, oh God, God, if you could just please give me this one opportunity to make it into this party. I will never bother you again, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I did the old school. I just leaned up against the metal pole, and I rolled right over like the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And I was now finally in the music pit. And next thing I'm like, okay, now I made this far. I see Naomi Campbell. Who's the dude that owns Virgin?
Richard Branson.
I see Richard Branson, and he was at a party the night before, and I'm like, okay. So now I see them passing. I see Hillary and Bill Clinton passing.
Damn.
I'm like, you know, I got my suit on. I'm like, fuck it, let's go. Can I say fuck it here?
Yeah.
Fuck it. I just like make my way through the drummers and people dancing African dance, and I go to the guy from Virgin. I'm like, hey, what's up, man? He goes, hey, what's up, bro? And then he puts his arms around me. Now we're walking through. Now we're in Nelson Mandela's house. I get shots of the big dog, his lovely wife, all of them. I got all the shots I needed, enough to be happy before I saw security calling for me. And then I just like jetted. It was the happiest 2-hour walk back to the hotel through Africa.
2-hour walk?
Yeah, but I posted the pictures on Wire Image and Getty Image. Yeah. Shout out to Wire and Getty Image.
You work for both of them? Getty owns
all of them.
So
Getty's
I have a question. We have to get to that. After that amazing story, I have to ask this. Yeah. How does your deal with those places work? Do they pay you a salary? Is it per event? Is it per pictures? How does it work?
It's a mathematical formula, P, I can't even figure out. But I will say this.
Is it good, though?
I've been there with them for like over 10 years. It's great. God is good.
Do you do nicely with
Getty
them?
Is God?
No, oh. God is good.
Oh, because
you didn't mean it.
No.
So the point is, it does well for you.
It does very well.
And
for
do
me.
They need specific things from you? Will they call you and say, "Hey, we need you to do
the black guy"?
I kind of like
get the black. Yeah, hey, go get the black shit. We need
shit. Yeah, I'm the dude that always gets the access into certain events. Whether it be with Kanye or Jay or Nas. By the way, shout out to Nas and shout out to the whole team. You know, he's got a big event coming up next week with the Tribeca Film Festival. You know, opens up with him. Huge documentary.
Yeah, I want to go.
To Run with Johnny. You guys can roll through the grass together.
Roll through the grass behind
can
the beacon.
Can I give some shout outs?
Give your shout outs.
I want to give a shout out to Eclectic Magazine. By the way, Chanel put me on the cover of the magazine. It's probably in that other room.
Stop turning away from the microphone.
In the other room. The second shout out is to D3M, big licensing company with Celsius drink energy drinks. I'm about to send you some boxes. And I know I'm an asshole right now, but I got to jet to a meeting. But can I come back another time?
You're insane, Johnny.
I love you guys.
Johnny, you are a fucking nut. I just want to be clear. First of all, I'm not remotely upset. You're a fucking lunatic. Johnny's been hitting me up. He's like, yo, I got to come through. You came through. You told us two great stories.
It'll be the part two. It'll be the part two. I swear to you.
Absolutely, Johnny. The door is open.
Shalom.
We'll see you next week. Yo. Uh-huh. We'll do a real one soon.
Selfie high five.
Johnny. Yo.
I'm coming back.
All right, you're coming back. Whatever.
Is that our Chanel?
No.
Yeah, it's your Chanel.
Oh, our Chanel's here?
She looks different.
Some jokes for you. I know you're.
Oh, tell you one of your jokes. I love his joke. Tell one quickly.
This is a bad one.
No, tell your joke. He always comes to me. He always tells me this joke. Tell
you got
me
a joke. Tell one of the mic.
You got
one joke.
The rubber one.
I don't know.
He's good. He's funny.
What's the rubber one?
Knock, knock.
No, not that one. Come on.
Okay. Can't remember. Look,
that was
next
terrible.
Time, I swear, next week I will be here.
All right.
Are you doing this next week?
We're always around.
I love you.
Johnny Nunez, ladies and gentlemen. Push hard. Push hard, Johnny. I like your jacket, by the way. Pause.
Wow. That was insane.
And no.
Insane.
Not the Chanel you were referring to.
No, I thought it was.
No.
You're positive.
I know our Chanel quite well.
I know, but it looked like I know through the window.
No.
All right. Different Chanel.
You don't think Chanel would have come in and said hi to us at some point?
That's what I'm saying. It was weird. Yeah, and I thought she was just about to come in here.
No, wasn't her. That was truly amazing. Dominican Drew, is you still there? Dominican Drew not there?
I
want to make sure the door's closed. They're all... No, is it just you by yourself? You're alone. And door's closed? That was fucking insane. Johnny has been hitting me up like, yo, I need to do the podcast.
Right, right.
On me about it. On me. So I'm like, well, you know, we're happy to have him because the guy has... He's shot... You've probably seen him out before.
Yeah.
He shot everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, the guy has to have amazing stories. He shows up late, tells one story, and runs out. Guess who that's good news for? Dante Nero.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, Dante, let's get back to what you were talking about earlier.
Okay.
You were explaining to Sife putting down the law. And this sounds, I have to say, you were very close with Patrice?
Yeah.
That was my man. We were best friends.
So you guys pontificated on this endlessly.
Constantly. That's how we started doing the radio show we used to do on Sirius Radio with Opie and Anthony, and they gave us our own show. We did 13 episodes, and those 13 episodes became kind of like cult followings where dudes somebody put them on YouTube, and people have been listening to them
forever
since 2006.
What was it called?
Black Phillip. Oh, it was the name came from Patrice was considered the black Dr. Phil, the ghetto Dr. Phil. Yeah. So he called himself Black Phillip. And so when I picked up the torch to continue it, I'm not really black.
Beige Phillip.
So I became Beige Phillip.
Oh, that makes
that's
sense.
Where it
dope.
Came from.
That's dope. Yeah. So you're tight with O&A.
Yeah. Well, I'm not. Well, I really haven't. I had a falling out with. I didn't really have a falling out with them, but they don't really fuck with me because his chick. Me and Patrice used to smash bitches together
right.
on the road, and his chick doesn't like me because he would always kind of give me the respect that he didn't give her. So she don't fuck with me, and they don't fuck with me because of her.
Because they're tight with her.
Yeah.
Out of obligation.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
My good buddy is their producer.
Oh, okay.
My good friend Sam Roberts.
They don't have a problem with me, but it's just like she tells everybody she's his fiance. When he gave her a ring and said, "It is what you think it is."
I think. Did he talk about that publicly?
Probably.
I think he talked about us.
He
said that, right?
Yeah.
He said, "It is what you think it is."
The ring is what it is.
That
what
whole
you think
thing
it is
nasty.
I know that whole situation is weird.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard his last podcast with us?
No, I didn't.
You never heard that?
No.
He did his.
Might have been the last thing he recorded.
Really? I think you went on O&A one more time.
Oh yeah.
But we did the not besides O&A, which was basically home for him.
Yeah.
We did his last interview.
That's so dope.
He did like an hour with us.
I miss that dude every day, bro.
He was
incredible,
special guy.
But what happened was him and I met. He was about 10 years in comedy, and I met him. And I was a male stripper for 12 years.
Already knew that too.
About it. I just learned that the other day.
Yeah. I was a male stripper for 12 years. I was.
Was your body the same as it is now?
No. Absolutely not. We're talking about 60 pounds ago and maybe 20 years. I the last show I did was probably 1999.
Good. I was just worried. I was just wondering how it went. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Why were you a male stripper?
It was just something. I was actually a mobile DJ at first. But
they're like, can you pull your cock out sometimes? When you play Jump Around by House of Pain,
you just slap your dick up and down.
Here's what it was. It, you know, at 6 o'clock in the morning, at 7 o'clock in the morning, after the party's over, back in the days, you were carrying milk crates of speakers, and everybody was going home with the bitches, and you're like, yo, I'll call you, and I just didn't want to carry speakers and milk crates of records no more. So I was like, how could I hustle?
I'll replace the milk crates with my cock.
Right, exactly. So now I could go to the parties that I could go to 5-6 parties, bag bitches, and then I have a G-string, some baby oil, and a tape.
Yo, you sound so insane right now. Like, you don't seem insane to me. So why? How could you slap your dick around? Like, I don't understand how you could do it.
Because I went to SUNY New Paltz, and I'm a Q dog, right? So there was a.
Do they still claim you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
I'm the strip dog.
What do you do? Is that this?
Yeah, that's okay. It. Yeah,
got it.
So they
that was like a sacrilege, was it? That I did
nah,
it.
Nah, it's a little really funny, but don't worry,
I
should
do it.
But
I was just trying to set up what it was.
I understood you didn't understand. So
exactly,
it's cool. But
give me a pat. Now, does that work? Does the pass work?
Yes, yeah,
only for him now. Only for him.
Saw that we gave. I won't do it again.
So they had a. Toys for Tots, and they did a male review with each Greek letter organization represented, and they needed guys to strip for the Deltas.
What kind of
Zetas.
Toys for Tots is this?
Well,
the Tots weren't there.
They
I don't
weren't
think.
There. They didn't. We just raised
fundraiser.
The money and then we bought toys.
It was more like Toys for Cocks.
We should have went with that. We should have went with that. Now you should have been the market.
And were you embarrassed the first time?
Yeah, I was nervous as hell.
Do you have a large penis?
I got a nice package. You know what I'm saying?
Average.
I can hit the back.
Oh my god.
Bottom it out.
I can bottom it out. I got a little, you know.
But hold on, but real quick. But when you dance, are you flaccid when you dance?
Oh my god!
It's a relevant question.
It's two sides. There's two styles. Some dudes beef what they call
hold
beef
on,
up.
You gotta hear this. There's two styles.
There's two styles. Some dudes go just with the regular package G, and some dudes go with what they call the illusion G string, where dudes actually beat off they take two half inch of ace bandage to tie it behind the nuts instead of a cock ring because it works better.
To push their dick out?
No, just to tie to keep the blood in it.
Oh, to keep it hard the whole time?
Yeah.
Seems animal.
Yeah.
How could you have a hard on for that long? That would be
a little.
Is that that long? How long is the show?
Half hour?
Yeah, you untie, you loose it up, you beat it up again, you tie it up again. It ain't no joke. It's work. It's work.
But I got to tell you, I just can't imagine dancing flaccid. That would look no good. For me, I'm not a good look at all.
Right, it's not a good look. So, I mean, so I was doing it, and that's how I got into the game. And then I got...
You were fucking bitches when you were doing this?
Constantly. Constantly.
Do you understand how lowly... I mean this with no disrespect to you.
No, it's whatever.
The disrespect I have for a woman who fucks the male stripper?
Yeah, well...
No disrespect to you.
It's whatever.
But to them, like, I just... Like, that... I can't... Like, you go to... It's like one of those dancing bear porno videos. Like, you really... They'd really do it?
Dude, you gotta understand that... They look at you as an object, so they're willing to do things with you
that they wouldn't do
because you can't you won't judge them
because basically you were like the way men treat strippers.
Yeah,
you're just like you were a piece of meat.
I tell you, you know, dudes. They always say dudes are dogs. I had a situation where I did a show out in Long Island, and it was for the bride. She was getting married the next day, and
talk about it.
She came in the room. She was like, she started hitting me off. She gave me a little brain. Right, and I got busted by the mother-in-law. She opened the door and was like,
"The mother-in-law, the husband."
Yes, and then the she goes, "You stinking ass bitch! You come in here sucking dick, and you don't call me." And ended up fucking the mother-in-law and the wife.
Are you lying?
I swear to God.
Don't lie on one Epstein.
I'm not.
Lie on one Epstein.
One Epstein's a show for truth.
It is all truth.
Fucked. The bride
and then they invited me. This is how I was thinking that bitches could be so stinking ass. They invited me to the wedding and you should come. I was like, I'm not coming.
I would have liked it if you said, and I went.
So
I went to the wedding. It was nice.
And it was
nice. A nice setup.
And I'll be honest, I like
seafood platter.
I like the husband.
They had a nice prime rib. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, hold on. You fucked him at the same time?
Yeah, it's like when you think.
Hold on. No.
Yes.
More details.
Yes.
So she says, how could you come in? And then did they proceed to both blow you?
They blew me. I fucked the mother-in-law, the bride.
Back and forth?
Yeah, they were making out with one. Fucking.
Were they hooking up with each other too?
No.
They didn't touch each other?
No.
But they both let you have sex with them?
Yes.
And this is where? In the back of the place you're
In a bathroom. The house.
I want to ask you a question, and I want you to hear it out the whole thing before you judge the answer. Would you be upset if the night before your wedding, your wife and
your
Jenny...
and your mom.
And Jenny, your mom, both fucked a male stripper together. Would that bother you?
I think it would annoy me a little.
Why? No, you're such a prude. You're such a fucking prude. What if it was him? What if it was Dante? That wouldn't bother you.
Now or then.
Then maybe it's okay. Now. Oh. Yo, so is that the craziest one? Was that the...
I once did a gig at the Kennedy Inn. Shout out to Kennedy Inn.
That's not the Kennedy Center, by the way.
No, the Kennedy Inn.
Different.
I did a show there, and it was 13 girls. I took two strippers with me. I fucked 11 of the 13 girls at the party. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't all dimes. Oh. It was an array from threes to nines.
Wait, 11?
11 of the 13.
How many times did you complete? You only completed.
I didn't complete none. You just stick and run.
Stick and run. You count them.
Count them. You got to count them. You put your dick in them. You count them.
How long was your penis inside?
It varied, right?
Like
varied. I mean,
is it like they were all in front of each other, or was it?
No, it was just a melee. It was like the lights went out. It was a melee.
And your friends were fucking too. Your other stripper friends.
Yeah, they didn't really pull their weight like they should have.
Yeah, there's only two left.
There's a.
They were just sitting there making love to the other two.
There's a threesome code. There's a threesome and orgy code that you have to know.
Share with us. We don't know anything about this.
Okay, whenever there's multiple girls and there's not enough guys, everybody has to get fucked because everybody is the peer pressure of what's going on is about the event. And so if everybody doesn't get fucked, then somebody catches conscience about it. And
they might start snitching?
No, well, they create a... the awkwardness that makes everybody think about what they're doing. But if everything is in the moment,
and everyone gets a little schlonged.
Right. Everybody's getting hit and you're moving and sticking. But if you, so when we, before we went there, I knew it was kind of going to be like a freaky kind of thing.
Why? What told you?
Sunday night, 6:30 show.
Okay.
So there was a suite. We went into the suite, and they.
So it's a weird time even to have the party.
Right, to do that. They were fans of mine, ongoing, came to shows for me constantly. So
oh, and was, you could see that. You'd seen the look in their eye before.
I know. It was, they all wanted to smash before, and so they had the suite, and we was. So I called two dudes.
What
I was like, yo, come.
What is going on?
I want you to come. I think this might go down.
I need reinforcements.
Exactly.
There may be many vaginas that need to get fucked tonight. And I need as much backup as I could get.
So when we got there, they put us in the suite, the second suite. And they were all in the other suite. And I was like, okay, well, I brought two guys. They're going to warm up the crowd. If you want to warm up the crowd, then I'm going to, you know, they would do like a set for tips.
A dance. Okay, just regular dance.
Tips.
Regular.
But they weren't getting paid. They would just do it for tips. And so we got dressed in one. When I went to give the music to the 13 girls, they had all changed into lingerie. Crotchless panties.
Shit.
Full body fishnet suits. Just... What?
Who are these women?
Who are these?
Who are these women that
you'd be surprised?
That, they have
all
the.
Of
what's
them.
The convo like? It's, we need to hire Dante.
It's going. Okay. It's going down like that.
And then I want him to fuck all of us.
All of us, Cheryl?
Yeah,
Cheryl.
No, I think what's he like? I don't know. He's weird. He has this ear piercing. He's bald. He's not nearly as fat as he's going
well,
to
be. What
do
we wear? What do we wear? What do we wear? Fishnet? Do I bring fishnet?
Yes. Oh, I got something. I got something special. That's what they all had kind of
like. And by the way, at no point does any intimidation set in on you. Like, ooh, this is kind of crazy.
I was in my 20s. You know what I mean? I was in my 20s. It was like, you rock out. But I remember telling the dudes that was with me, I was giving them the pep talk. I said, look, here's what I was like, Newt Rockney. I was like, look, everybody got to go in. And everybody's got to get fucked. Do you understand? I said, go out.
You're the Newt Rockney of schlong schlobbing.
I go, you gotta do the whole show.
Three guys, 12.
You gotta do the whole. You gotta do your whole show because your show is the foreplay. So go out, do your whole show, and then mingle and start fucking. And then the next guy comes out, does his whole show, and he starts fucking. And I come out as a finale.
And I fuck everyone.
And the headliner. And I come out, do my show, but I do my whole show. And then, so the first dude, his name was Yum Yum, right?
Of course it is.
His name was Yum Yum.
What else would his name be? If it wasn't
so
Yum Yum.
He comes through. He used to wear the construction. He was kind of corny. Hey, what is construction?
That's super
thing,
corny. I mean,
right?
Come on, man. So be original.
Out,
get your own shit and be original. You know what I'm saying?
He comes out. He was a titty guy. So there was this chick with like triple E titties.
Love it.
She was in a full body fishnet crotchless.
I feels like she was probably too big to wear that.
She was not a little one.
She couldn't have been.
But the titties was crazy.
Okay, fair
insane.
Enough.
I
got
I
no problem.
Saucer size areolas.
All right, I'm not mad.
Gumdrop nipples, the whole shit. You feel me? So,
Yum Yum and gumdrop.
Right. So he comes out. The music comes on. He does one turn. Sees this chick with the triple E's. And just dives
in.
Just goes in on the titties. Just starts sucking the titties. The music is playing. He's sucking the titties.
He didn't even do his whole show.
Nothing. He didn't do nothing.
This is the
nothing.
Worst
one
performance
turn,
I've ever heard of. All the other girls are like, damn, what's going on?
Right. And he's just there. So I'm like, foreplay. I'm in the back. Like, didn't I tell you guys it's a full court press? You got to play zone. You got to play zone, right? And he's still, his music is playing.
He's just sucking titties.
Right.
This is the best.
Then he goes down on the chick. He goes down on it.
And I like picturing Dante in the back, like pacing and stomping his feet. Like, this is ridiculous. People are out here.
You
just
don't turn off a man's music.
You don't turn off a man's music.
We let
his music play.
Let him play
but
out.
This is ridiculous.
How long is this set? 18 minutes. God damn it.
It's the fucking cha-cha slide. He's playing the whole thing. 7 minutes and 43 seconds.
So I go to the next dude. I go, his name is Georgie Porgy. I go, Georgie, look, he used to do this kind of nerd thing where he'd hand out.
By the way, what's your name at the time?
Prince Mandingo.
So real quick, let's just recap. Let's just recap. We have Yum Yum up first.
Georgie Porgy
second.
Then the two spot.
And then the three spot. Bring it up the rear, if you will. It's Prince
Mandingo. Power forward me, Prince Mandingo.
Prince Mandingo. Yeah, okay, go. Got it.
So, George, I said, George, make sure you do your whole show and don't just fuck the bad bitches, right? Got me, got me. He comes out, boom, he does 2-3 steps. He sees the dime in the bunch, goes over to her, boom, right there, he starts fucking making out with her. His dick's hard. He starts fucking the chick right there. The music is still playing.
It's like you're working with two animals.
Exactly.
Two fucking animals.
And I'm trying to
keep it. So now the other girls are like,
they're like,
titty. Now big titties is taken. Dime piece is taken.
So they're laughing, but they still wanted
right,
the show
like,
part.
A little, the, right. Yeah. So I
and not only
up.
That, you also, sorry, this is important to mention. You said don't just fuck the dime, because let's be clear, and we'll get to this further in the story. The ugly chick's got to get fucked, too.
Everybody's
got to
get
this.
Fucked.
Everyone's got to get fucked.
We talked about it on the way. We was on the Bell Parkway, and I was talking about this. Everybody's
got to. Don't just fuck the hot chicks. All right, so now you got to go out. His song's still playing, and he just.
I cut his music.
Ooh.
I put my joint on. I come out.
What was your song?
I used to come out to Jungle Fever, Caracas.
Okay.
Boom, 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 that joint.
Jungle Fever, Caracas. Let me look, see if I can get
that. And it, I used to come out to that, and then I would do Working to the Bone, and I would do,
this is the best story I've ever heard, history one I've seen.
I used to do Working to the Bone, and I used to do Cora Cora, No Smoke.
Oh,
right.
My God.
So, I come out, I do the whole.
Oh, so this is the, you said the name of the group.
That's it.
It's actually Chicachas.
Right, okay. That's the joint, right there.
All
right,
so you're coming out.
I used to come out, step, and on each one of those breaks, I would pause and hump the floor, fucking whatever.
Good, good.
So you can see it's fucking dope. So I'm going through the whole thing. And
it's
only
fucking
thing,
dope, you just said. No, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, I swear to God, me seeing you hump the floor to this song is not dope at all.
Dog.
Not for me. Okay, keep going, keep going.
Dog, I'll bring the maybe out of a straight dude. Stop playing. So I go out, do the whole show. I'm only, instead of just doing my show, I'm actually finger popping them and sucking her titties was all in. Boom, I'm
but
rolling.
Spreading it around.
Yeah,
spread
I'm,
love.
I'm
the
doing
Brooklyn
handstands, backflips, roll out. I'm just acrobatics and stuff. And I'm finger popping, doing all kinds of crazy. So everybody's hot. Shit. By the time the second song comes on, the lights go out, and we just. I slid one girl down one of them high back chairs. I was inside of her. I had two chicks that I positioned on the arms of the chair. I was finger popping both of them. I had one girl standing on the chair, and I was eating her out.
So you had four at once?
At once.
Unbelievable.
Now,
like
here's the fucked up thing. Yum Yum is still eating out the big titty chick. Georgie is still smashing the 9, 10. That's all. He's got her behind the couch. Now I'm left all alone. And I'm, you know, I don't like to say this, but I'm only a man. I can only handle so much. And
did you
13
yell out?
Is too
did
much.
You yell out?
Nah,
yum
you
yum
can.
And
it's
and
just,
Georgie?
It's just what it is.
Yeah, be like, yo, Georgie, get your head out of your ass or her ass.
You can't. It's just you just gotta kind of rock. So,
all right.
But it went on for about. What happened was went on, and I would bump into a chick sticker.
So hey, how long are we talking about?
I mean, the whole thing went on about 45 minutes, 30 minutes, half.
The room is pitch black?
Pitch black.
It's there's just a little light somewhere.
Little
the bathroom
light underneath the bathroom door. And then you see one of the ugly chicks, the threes,
yep.
She goes in the bathroom. You can see the light underneath the door. Mm-hmm. Then another one of the ugly chicks went in, and then you could hear them. I didn't really come here for this. Now, I fucked both of them. So
okay,
now all of a
solved.
Sudden they're catching... They're catching feelings. Oh, this I didn't come here for that. It wasn't that they didn't come here. It just was that it wasn't enough to go around. And then they started catching feelings, which is what I had said before. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets fucked. That's how you keep the energy forward moving.
Now, here's a question I have for you. And I understand this story pretty well now, but how does this end? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like,
Then you just get your money and bounce.
And then it just gets
quiet.
You haven't
even gotten your money yet?
Nah, I always get my money.
I'm saying you wouldn't get it up front?
Nah, what are they going to do? I mean, it's.
Now, hold on, real quick.
The lights come on, like you're done. The lights come on.
Juice on the floor.
It's just kind of ill. Cushions.
Cushions.
The sofa cushions is all over.
Oh.
Just, and then there's 10, 11, 12, 13 girls, however many, doing what
now
when the lights
four,
come on?
Like, now there's four. In the bathroom, talking, kind of weird.
Like they're weirded out a little bit.
Yeah, and then everybody gets uncomfortable. Then the whole
now
thing
the other one, but are there some of the girls like just diking out and like getting it
on? No. They're just
in there waiting, like
online?
Well,
I was working them and whatever, just as I was.
Are they laughing?
And they were laughing at first, and then it just kind of got awkward. I got my money and I got out.
And you ever saw them again?
No, I don't think so.
They didn't come back again?
I mean, I've seen them I saw them at shows after that, yeah.
But that night is not talked about with their,
Probably not. I don't know. You know what I'm saying?
So this is all what led to you becoming the man that you became and developing the theories that
partially, you have. And then I was like the number one male exotic dancer on the East Coast for like 7 years in a row, right?
And it's crazy.
And
the fact that you haven't made a movie yet is like a disgrace.
And then somebody asked me to manage a club in Brooklyn called the Cheetah Club, and Brooklyn was a strip club in Flatbush. Flatbush.
So I've heard of it.
No.
At that time, Rudy Giuliani had passed the RICO law with the whole South Street Seaport thing. And there was.
I remember there being a big component there about getting gang banged by bitches.
Well, part of it was extortion. The other part was the vice issue, where strip clubs had to be a certain amount away, and certain percentage of your business had to be something else other than adult.
There was like that the whole DVDs, yeah. Like the porn spots had to have like regular DVDs.
They had to have it right.
Bullshit.
That's where they all had that. But so then there was vice coming in the strip clubs. And these chicks at the Cheetah Club, they would make their money because they would fuck in the Cheetah Club. Like they would lap dance you in the back, pull their shit. And so I was managing. Somebody had asked me to manage because I bounced and I did I did underground fighting. Like I used to fight for money. Oh my God. Right?
This guy, what is your life?
Where are your parents, by the way?
Both of them. One of them's dead, but one of them's still alive. My mom's still alive.
She is.
Yeah.
God bless her.
Yeah.
Does she know these things?
Probably not.
Not any of them?
Some of them.
She's seen your routine before, right?
Yeah.
So she's heard you talk about stripping, I'm guessing.
Yeah, and the people at her church would hire me. She was Mandingo's mother for a minute. Like, they would be like,
oh my God, I know your baby, Prince Mandingo.
Yeah, it was like that.
That's my baby. You know old Mandingo, just running around.
So the
slapping it out.
What happened was I was bouncing, I was running the club, and these chicks was fucking in the club. And I kept fighting with them not to fight fucking the club because they didn't want to get the club closed down. So that's where that whole...
Shut up, Dante. I'm going to fuck if I want to fuck.
And that's where the whole era... I don't know if you... The whole era of the locked door parties, the strip locked door parties, that's why that happened in the 90s because of that law. And
what a locked door party would mean, people would just shut it down, like you couldn't.
They would have strip parties, and then they would just have sex, and it was basically like a traveling prostitution ring that was going on that an undisclosed.
So you couldn't get in after a certain time, or
right?
Something?
They locked the door, and that was it. You couldn't.
Nobody's getting in or out.
And then, let me get this right. That defeats the system.
Yeah, because
the police show up like, sorry, door's locked. Yeah, gotta go.
Because it was under the radar.
Also, if a cops come unannounced into a strip club that's open to the public, they might just sneak up on you and catch you.
But a lot of
outdoor spots, like even if they did find out about it, it's locked.
So here's the thing:
when someone's banging on the door, like everybody stop fucking.
Right, you have a few minutes.
Here's the thing: CEOs and cops was in the party.
Of course,
they were in there fucking. So that's what it was, really. So these chicks was fucking. And I kept fighting with them to fucking, and I was like, man, they're selling pussy already. Why don't I organize this? And so I ran an escort service from the girls, and I took the product out of the clubs, and I started managing the bitches on the outside.
Took the product out of the club. You made a move.
So hold on. So you've been a male stripper, a bouncer. Mm.
A pit fighter.
A pimp.
Yeah.
There's no comedy yet.
Not yet. But I used to book Mike Epps, Tracy Morgan, and them. I used to produce shows, and I would book them to open for the strip shows. I would produce male strip shows and then...
And book comedians to open
up. Yeah, that's how I knew all the...
I have a hunch Tracy Morgan and Mike Epps liked those parties.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
So we have Tracy Morgan come in to do one FC next week. If we ask him, would he remember...
Ask him about Mandingo, he will absolutely know me and know what the deal is.
Sife, will you remember to do this?
No.
Will I remember?
Yeah, you'll remember.
All right. Prince Mandingo. I'm going to find out. You writing that down? Yeah, write that down, Rasan. You'll be here.
Yeah.
Prince Mandingo. All right. Do we even get to comedy today? I'm literally worn out.
I need to know
Here's the game. The game, but because of that, as I learned, like the pimp game is the same as a regular. It's what I started doing was I started applying pimp philosophies to square relationships. Because the same, it's the same thing, really. It's just the difference is what the product is. So
more fluff to it, not broken down to the bare bones of sex for money.
Exactly.
But
so
it's the same thing.
It could be your time. Like your time could be your money. So when you first thing you have, here's the philosophy behind it is that we consider ourselves cognitive beings, but underneath that. We're all still animals. Mm-hmm. And so the reason why we've survived for 200,000 years is because, as human beings, is because we're still animals. And there are specific cues that women find attractive because of that. That's why we've survived. That mm-hmm. Because women have chosen the right mates in terms of the DNA that's been passed on for the species to survive. So there's this instinctual bed that exists that is out of women's control, whether they realize it or not, and it permeates through the social contract, which is marriage, relationships, monogamy, and all of those things.
Okay.
And understanding that underlying
base
instinct, mm-hmm. Those instincts.
So what's the basis of those instincts?
Well, one of the things that a woman always wants a strong man, and so you have to exhibit certain characteristics that a woman will find attractive, whether or not she finds you attractive on a cognitive level,
she'll find it attractive.
So here's something that's really interesting. The reason why a woman never leaves when you cheat on her is because of the fact that there's three base filler principles. One is that a woman will always find a man attractive who other women find him attractive.
Of course. Right? So the second you fuck someone, you're proving exactly what...
You're proving that. A woman only dates a man that she thinks is better than her. The minute she thinks that she's better than you, she will dump you.
Okay.
Right?
If you guys saw the focus in Sife's eye right now, he's like
a
disciple.
I heard those already.
I know, but you look like Daniel.
I like any gems.
No, but you look like Danielson listening to Mr. Miyagi. Keep going.
So
these are very accurate so far, I believe.
And here's the difference. When a woman...
No, there was the last one. You said there's three principles.
Well, here's the principle.
The third one. When
a woman cheats on a man, he goes, that stinking ass bitch. When a man cheats on a woman... She goes, he's a piece of shit. But in her mind, she goes, why was I not woman enough to keep him? She questions her womanhood. So not only does you lower her self-esteem by cheating on her, but you higher your value. Because you higher your value because of the fact that you have proven to her that when other women find you attractive. You lower her self-esteem because the way women internalize cheating by saying, I wasn't woman enough to keep him. So so the disparity between
gets bigger.
It's huge.
You're stretching the gap.
And so what? And she cannot leave if she thinks you're better than her. So what she does do is she bitches and carries on. And then what she does, she stays in the relationship and makes an attempt to assassinate your character until she has, in her own mind, decided that you are lower than her.
Oh my God.
So what she does
that
is
always happen?
Always happens.
And so in one way or another.
One way or another.
When you strip it down, this is what you're going
to
get.
That's the rule of it. I mean, there's exceptions to every rule, but what happens is
she stays
with you, and then she makes you beg to get back. And every time you beg, she finds you less attractive until she's lowered your status where you are more important. You being with her is more important than she is to you. And then she leaves you.
That's
and
what
then
happened
she fucks
to me.
The new dude.
What happened, Sife?
No, so now I'm thinking about it with my ex.
You cheated, right?
There was some
indiscretions.
It wasn't really cheating. We had like time apart, and there was some other things jumping off.
And then,
I didn't get caught cheating, but I got caught with a bat phone.
Oh, I've heard the story. I've heard of the bat phone.
I got caught
in
with
the car.
A bat phone. Right. Yeah, and I had a bat phone, and she found it, and then I had to, like, then she was like, had all these rules for me.
Right.
Like, you gotta call me.
Right. Every hour, every night.
Broke you down.
Get home
you
and
became
broke
a fucking
me down.
Loser.
If you go.
To the point where I seen then, I was like, doing nothing but trying to please her.
Right.
Giving up myself.
Which is exactly what she doesn't want.
She doesn't
a woman
want
only finds a man attractive who loves himself more than he loves her.
So if a man gets caught cheating,
yeah,
does that mean his only option is to act like he doesn't give a fuck?
Pretty much.
If you want, if you want,
he could say he could listen. Here's how I play it. If I get caught, I go, look, I'm done. And she goes, what do you mean done? I go, well, listen, I'm not willing to do what you're willing to, what you need to put me through to make this okay. So we're just done. And I bounce. She goes, usually what she'll do is she'll go, you don't even want to fight for us? And I go, got you, bitch. Got you. Because now her wanting to be with me is more important than me wanting to be with her.
And now you're fine. You're reset, basically.
But she's still going to go hard by. You got to understand that once you go back in that situation, she's always going to try and lower it. She hates the fact that she still loves you. She despises the fact that she's still into you. So she's trying to find ways to change
that. Does she ever get over it?
Maybe years.
Can it work? Will it work eventually?
You got to be hard. Your pimp game's got to be
okay,
crazy.
Okay, well, what about this then? The advice that people want from you, Dante,
yeah,
is a man wants to know how he can make his significant other okay with him having a discretion now and then without trying to sabotage the relationship, just letting. How can you be pimp enough to just be given an occasional?
Because you have to. It all depends on the chick. I mean, there's a lot of chicks are into women as well that they don't even know they're into women. And so you have to be the word I use is unaffected. You have to be unaffected by your surroundings. So if you're unaffected, she still sees you as, because you got to understand, she's still the weak. She wants a man who's strong enough to keep her safe. So the minute you start whining, I love you, I just want to be with you, what you do is she's asking for this on a social contract. She's asking for this, wants you to be forgiven and wants you to act like you give a fuck. But on the instinctual level, you still need to be the strong dude who keeps her safe. So you just gotta what I do is, like, look, if you're gonna talk about this, then we're done today. So she goes, you cheated on me, and I didn't fucking. I go, I don't. Okay.
Very important question here, Dante. Are you yourself in a relationship?
Absolutely.
You are?
Yeah.
Have you been caught cheating in this relationship?
Absolutely.
You already have, and you're still with her?
Yeah.
How many times have you been caught?
3, 4.
How long has it been?
2 weeks.
How long have you been with her?
7 years.
Are you going to stay with her?
If she acts right.
No, it's unbelievable. Crazy.
If she acts right, yeah. If she don't, you know, I've...
Now, a lot of people will hear this. Here's the interesting part. A lot of women would hear this and find it chauvinistic.
Sure.
But when, in fact, all it is, in my opinion, is you're not saying... Well, I don't think he's saying that women are by any means inferior. I think he's saying women and men operate different ways.
They're different.
And for you to survive as a man and be able to do the best that you can and be the happiest you can be, you have learned... It's not even tricks.
It's what it is. You have to guard your manhood. If you don't guard your man, the minute you compromise your manhood,
so what about,
she will dump you. And here's what's crazy.
So that's what I'm saying. It's really protecting yourself.
Sure. And here's the thing. You have to always put your happiness first. If you don't put your happiness first, see, because a woman will tell you what she wants, and then when you give her what she wants, she's never happy with it. She doesn't even understand what her happiness is. You have to be competent enough to understand what her happiness is, and you have to protect yourself from her emotional states, because what I say is all bitches are crazy. What I don't mean is that they're all crazy, but they're all emotional, and their logic and their reality is based on their emotional state at the time when they're talking, which is subject to change
any second.
So what you have to do is you have to protect yourself from her. Because she'll destroy you without even knowing it. And she doesn't do it on purpose. It's just her moods change and her perspective. You have to protect her from herself. And you have to protect your relationship.
But everything he's saying is true.
It's gems. I was telling
you. Everything he's saying is true.
Because what she'll do is she'll look in your Facebook, this, that, look for something, and have no intention on leaving. So then she creates a situation, that a problem that she doesn't really want to know. Now it's now because of her girls or whatever telling her, you got to leave, or fuck him, this, that, we going to get you a new... And she's still in love with you. She had no intention on leaving in the first place. So if you had no intention on leaving, why would you dig something up? So this is every talk show you see on TV. But I love him. But then if you love him, why would you create something that would socially force you to have to leave in the first place?
Do you think there's a lane for someone like this lunatic to have like a cable weekly or daily late night show?
Of course.
To talk to men about this. It would drive women insane, but men would love it. But women would also kind of love it.
Yeah, because they want to learn everything they can.
Right. And try to counteract
it. But they're not going
to
be able to fight.
But like on a Spike or an FX or something like that, I feel like there's a place for this.
Here's what's crazy. I had a dude call me. I did somebody else's podcast. I was talking, and the dude was a good friend of mine. He called me up. He says, yo, that was the greatest thing I've heard in my life. So he had a situation.
This is the story you told me?
Yeah, yeah. He had a situation where he found me.
Amazing.
Came to my show. He found me, right?
Is it a known comic or up and coming?
Fairly, no. He's been a while. Been around for a minute. So
you know who he is, F?
No.
Okay.
So I go. He goes, here's what happened. I just got to ask you a question. Here's what happened. He went on a show. He said that the chick smokes. She smokes trees. She gets high. He's an older dude. He doesn't get high. He doesn't like the fact that she gets high because her life is not together. Whatever. So he went on the podcast and he talked about how he doesn't like the fact that she smokes weed. The people on that podcast were like, look, if she's a piehead, she's going to be a piehead. So you probably need the step because it's not going to work. She's going to not stop smoking weed.
Who are these schmidiots?
Well, just, you know, whatever. I can understand what they're saying. I don't know piehoods who stopped smoking weed, right? So he comes, he gets off the radio. She calls him up. She hears him on the podcast. She calls him. She says, listen, I just want you to know. I think we need some time to just sort things out, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, all right, well, you know, whatever. Now, if it's no chick I know would ever tell me we need some time to sort shit out. Because when you tell me I need some time, I'm replacing you. Because why? And here's the inference.
Wait, that's it. You're saying she's replacing you, or if she says that to you, you're going to replace her?
I'm replacing her because why would I allow, just as a human being, why would I allow somebody who I have gone on vacations with, I love, I take care of, why would I let you put my life on hold till you decide whether I'm more important than you smoking weed? Like, why would I do that? If you have to figure that out, then clearly I'm not that dude. I need to bounce, right? So he goes, yes, sure. And that. So he says, well, I go, well, why didn't you break it off with her then? You should have broke it off with her then. He goes, well, you know, she's trying to sort it. I go, she's not trying to sort it. This has nothing to do with weed. This is a power struggle. This is her testing you to see if you're going to show up as the man that you say that you are. So she doesn't call him that Wednesday, that Thursday, that Friday. So now when a dude calls me and he asks me a question, I call him. You all right? Did she call? No. You sure? She didn't call Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. She calls him up. And this is what she says. She goes, I'm sorry to bother you. She texts him. Sorry to bother you, right? But I just would be remiss if I didn't find out for sure if we were done, right? So now this is the bitch that asked him for the 5 days. Now she passive aggressive, and he flips it to say, act like he asked for the 5 days.
And it's like, I just want to make sure, like, you...
That we're done. I wanted to know, just make sure that we're done.
Because you haven't called.
Right, because he didn't break.
He hasn't called.
Because he was under my tutelage. I said, do not call that.
Do not call her.
Right?
Do not call. So he hasn't called. She thought he was going to call the next 2 days.
Right, he didn't call.
He didn't call. So now she's like...
She went 6 days, and now it's shaky. Now she starts to think, whoa, maybe I'm not as dope as I thought I was. So he calls me, says, yo, she just called me. I go, did you not say? She says, I didn't say nothing. I go, send her this. Yeah, I'm done.
No, he said, he told me.
Lowercase.
No, all lowercase, no punctuation, like this. Yeah, I'm done.
Like that.
Perfect. Right? Y-E-A-I-M-D-O-N-E.
I'm done. Now she's home because she figures she's going to send him this passive aggressive flip mode style where he goes, why would you think we're done? You're the one that asked me for the time.
Yeah, why are you asking me that?
Fuck your conversation. Fuck your I see you, bitch. I see you. You're transparent. I see what you're doing. Now you want to test my manhood to see if I'm going to show up. I'm showing up. Yeah, I'm done. I'm moving on. Now, she goes, she's sitting in at work. She's like, what the fuck? How? So she's, I was falling in love with you. How could you just end the relationship? Blah, 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 blah. She's hitting. So he's calls me up, cracking up. He's, yo, I ain't never seen this bitch act like this before. I said, because you're showing up. You're a man.
Arrived, brother.
You are showing up as the man that you are. And now, whatever question she thought about whether you was that dude, I was saying, Beige Phillip rule number 17 is, a bitch will give you shit to make sure that you are the shit. So she's giving you, she gives, are you, if you think you're going to go through a relationship and not have a problem, you're crazy, because they're crazy. They're emotionally insane. So she gives you problems as a test to confirm that you are the dude that she chose in the first place. Even when you're married. See, when you're married, it's more difficult because, like, if I say, Rosenberg, me and you are friends, we friends, that's it. Once we declare that, it's declarative, that's it. So if I don't see you for 10 years and I see you, something I do, how you been, blah, 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 it's love. Bitches ain't like that. Bitches are like, I'm testing you every step of the way. I need to make sure that you are that dude because I, at some point in time, and here's where the instinctual level comes in. When a woman becomes pregnant, she's at her weakest. So her mate needs to be that dude, because he has to keep her, he has to hold her down. So subconsciously, they're making sure that the guy that they chose is capable of holding her down.
When she's going through that weakest
when
part.
When she's going through that weakest part. She doesn't know it cognitively, but on a subconscious level, she's going, I need to make sure I got a dude that holds me down when I'm at my most
training
weakest.
Him for that moment.
Exactly.
Or
but
testing.
But she's doing that subconsciously. So when you don't show up, so when she gives you shit and you just want your peace and I just want to watch the game, yeah, bitch, whatever, whatever, and you give in, you give in, you give in. Every time you give in, she finds you less attractive.
Damn.
She's losing.
Which, by the way, especially for Jewish men like myself and many other men, I'm sure, it's totally counterintuitive.
Sure.
Totally counterintuitive. Because to me, and the way Jewish men are raised in general,
absolutely,
is to be good to women. Like, women give you a hard time. Baby, what is it? Let's figure it out. When sometimes that's not even what they want.
And
a lot of the times I have found that I only pull out my backbone when I'm pushed to the limit.
Right.
And then when I get pushed to the limit, I man up, walk away, and she always will come back.
Right.
Always. And it's like I almost need to do it every few months.
That's right.
And my wife is a wonderful, strong, competent woman.
Right.
It still applies.
Because
she does then respond to that.
Because it's instinctual. It's in their DNA to do this. This is why we have survived as human beings for 200,000 years. Feminism is only 60 years old. So all these concepts of everything you go on, you look on TV, King of Queens, and guys are begging for pussy, and yo, my wife's going to get in trouble, I'm going to be in trouble, can I go out, I can't hang out. All of that shit is in the last 60 years. So, but 200,000, you can't match that 60 years of horse shit with 200,000 years of survival. Like, this is why we, as human beings, as a species, we could go extinct. If we make the wrong choices, we would have gone. We're not extinct because those things are in place. And when we start to go, but now the social contract makes men go against those instinctual roles and so. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm a great dude. I'm the nicest awful dude you ever want to be. If you fucked up in the game, I got your back. If somebody touches your ass, I'll go and crack somebody's jaw. I can do all of that.
Are you forgiving of women?
Depends on what it is. If it's,
but you're not just a constant asshole dickhead
in
a relationship.
No. Well, that's what my show is about, is teaching dudes the integrity to manage the balance between being a dude who understands the inferences of what's going on. It's not another thing. It's not their fault. If you end up twisted and your wife ends up cheating on you or doing stuff or treating you like shit, it's your fault.
Every woman is
a direct reflection of the dude that she's fucking. So you get a chick.
That's the part people would find very sexist. That you're almost implying the woman doesn't have even a choice on her own.
Well, instinctually, she doesn't.
To some things.
Right, but if you act like a pussy, you will get fucked. It's just straight up.
Yeah, but that part I agree with. That's the hard part. I definitely do agree with that.
See, when I say it in the context of the rawness, in the context of it's hard to believe, when I explain to you, then you, it's undeniable logic. So if you get a dude and he goes to the chick and he goes, yo, I just was wondering if maybe, you know, if you're not doing anything, maybe we could go out for a cup of coffee, maybe if you're not nothing.
That's
right?
Me. Chicks love that. Don't listen to him. They love that. Here's the thing. Here's why I don't find it sexist.
Okay.
Even though you're not asking for defense, I'm going to give it to you anyway. Because I don't believe, even though it happens to work out that it appears that men are in the power position, we're not really. We're both fucking weak creatures.
Sure.
It's just the way we both operate. Like, for example, to me, it's totally counterintuitive to do these things that are probably better for maintaining a healthy relationship and being a man. I don't consider men to be more powerful or better than women. It just happens to be that you're right. Women desire protection and certain things from men. So I don't think it's an issue of...
And what I need, she doesn't need. And what she needs, I don't need. Like, I don't need...
You gotta know how to give it.
I don't need a big chick to keep me safe. I don't need a big giant chick with man hands to not break a... I don't need that. So why would I... Why would I ask that?
But you may want a very sweet, soft, coddling woman who at times is going to take care of you and make you feel like your mother did.
Exactly. Like, here's if I get a chick to rub my head, make me a sandwich, and suck my dick, I'm good. She doesn't have to be particularly. She doesn't have to be like, if she gets degrees or this or that. That's for her. That's for her own actualization. That don't do her having a degree doesn't make her a better catch.
Well, but what about spending your time with someone who has good conversation?
Well, yeah, I get that as well. But here's the thing: you have to constantly, as a man, you constantly be better. You have to be a better dude.
And you have to find. It's not like every woman is just a blank slate and she's gonna fall into your category. You still gotta find characteristics that you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Because
we hope what he's saying. We're drawing the line between whether I agree with what he's saying, or if he's a chauvinist lunatic, or if he's
every woman be controlled, no matter, and make her do what you want. That's
because I do think the principles that you're saying apply. Like for example, I think the most powerful, baddest, most on point woman still will fit into many of these things.
All of them.
But at the same time, where I would disagree with you and say that you'd be a chauvinist would be to say, if you were driven by literally only needing a woman to be able to perform acts for you and not be have certain qualities as a person.
I'm not saying that. I mean,
basics.
I've been with enough women in my life just through
in one night.
my numbers is high.
We know.
Know your numbers.
So, huh?
Do you know your numbers?
I know what my number was when I was 32.
What was it at 32?
It was 1,400 at 32.
Jesus Christ.
And that's real.
And I didn't stop. I stopped counting at
32. But by the way, you remember earlier when I said don't lie on one Epstein?
I'm 1,400.
Hashtag don't lie on one Epstein.
Yeah, you know what? You can confirm it. And
how would I confirm it? How would we confirm it?
Well, you couldn't confirm it. But you could tell dudes that you know. if you when you Tracy's here, you could ask Tracy. You could ask Mike Epps. Cypher see me rock when I'm just sharpening my tools. When I'm just
the other night, it was a nice Latin Dominican chick that came over to say hi to me and was yapped up by Dante. Quick, fast.
All right.
And then told her later on in the evening, she went to the bathroom. He's like, yo, stop walking around. You're walking around too much. Go sit down.
He just told her that.
Because there's a
she was flaunting her feathers.
This is what I call a proximity rule. Proximity rule is that if a chick is around you, she likes you.
That's that.
Because if a chick sees you as creepy, she will do everything in her to avoid you.
Absolutely.
So that's that.
That so she's around you, she likes you. Now once I know you like me, I have the upper hand. So I was like you. So
but just simply being around.
Being around. Because you gotta understand they're the weaker sex. Like they have to women have to worry
that
about
that line people wouldn't like.
They are the weak. I mean physically they're the
physically
weaker.
Weaker.
So when a chick goes out on a date, she has to consider things that we don't have to. You're not considering when you go out on a date, is this chick gonna rape me?
No.
women have to deal with
that. They have to deal with that, which is fucked up.
Right. So meaning when they decide to be around someone, they show some level of trust or...
There's a level of trust. The minute she puts herself in her...
But what
do
you mean? Like in the, we just met that girl.
Though. Doesn't matter. Because my what I was giving off was alpha, was all alpha kind of... alpha vibe.
Uh-huh.
So she, it's like.
It felt safe. Felt good.
Yeah, well, first
catnip.
Of all, she,
like
was,
catnip to her.
She was a young chick who was a real estate agent, which is always, like, stop trying to beat me up with your fucking personality. You'll never have as much personality as me. Like, stop.
She was very cute, though.
She was,
me.
But she was like, well, you
she
guys.
She was very cute.
She was real confident. So the first thing I said was like, oh, your man, you got a man? She goes, yeah. I go, he's a pussy, right? So she goes, why would you say that? When you say, why would you say that? Your man's a pussy. You feel me?
I don't remember you
saying
that.
Why would you, why?
Why would, if somebody said, mom, if a dude said to my chick, your man's a pussy, she'd be like, you out your fucking mind? Do you know who the fuck my man is?
Right.
If you go, why would you say that? That's a yes.
But why? How did you know her man was a pussy?
Because she was too comfortable coming at me, talking to me. She was too confident.
I think this is speaking to a different issue with Dante. This is where I'm not going to get deep. I think this gets to an issue of some level with you of a game that you play to cover up your weakness to push women back. I'm just trying, and I don't mean this in a negative way.
Okay.
But I mean, like, why are you instantly, it feels like, repelled by her coming at you
I'm
confidently?
I'm not repelled by it. But
what it feels like.
But I'm not repelled. Dude, you look at me. I'm 310 pounds. I have a bone in my ear. I'm tatted
what
up.
What is the deal with that bone in your ear?
Just was something I did when I was stripping. It was just something to be original.
And you still have it.
And now he has a huge hole in his ear. So what the fuck's he going
to
do?
Right. So, but.
To leave the bone.
I don't have a
bone in.
I don't have a problem with that.
Bone in black guy.
But when it.
Bone in black guy? Pause.
Yeah, but exactly. I don't have a problem with a chick being confident. I really don't have a problem with that. I don't have a with an intellectual. I love a chick that gives me intellectual back and forth. I love that. But the point is, for her to walk up to a dude like me and be that confident, it's you've done this. This is what you do. This is not an assessment of me specifically. This is how you see men. Because why would you think that about me of all people?
Think what?
That she could be that forward.
She was like too forward. It shows that she's able to push someone around.
She's accustomed to pushing her man around.
Okay, I got you. Let her know.
So
this
then
is a different, this is a different.
Like, I'm not your man, bitch. I will fucking twist your back.
Is there any way to say
sexually
that without saying?
Yeah, I will twist your back. And then what she does is she goes, I go, so a little friend walked over, and she was a little. I was like, look at you. She was like
4'10".
I was like, look at you. You look like a girlfriend in a pocket, right? So I was like, I should just put you. I'm just playing with her. And she goes, I go, you know, your friend said that you're much shyer than she is. She goes, I go, you mean she's obnoxious. And the girl looks at me and goes, shh, don't. Like.
You tapped into something.
This chick is overbearing.
In general.
In general, and she's
damn.
And I'm like, but it's all like I've been in the game so much that I can read it.
So when a girl says my friend is shy, the girl's really saying I'm obnoxious.
It infers that.
Wow.
Damn.
Implies that.
Yeah.
You infer that.
I infer it. She implies it. Yeah.
By the way, what's your Twitter, Dante?
My Twitter's @DanteNero. My podcast is The Beige Phillip Show. It's on iTunes. You can go to www.beigephillip.com. My Twitter is @TheBeigePhillip as well.
Why don't you just have one Twitter for just your name?
Because I'm not Beige Phillip. The show is.
Even though the show is just you.
Yeah. Well, I have co-hosts.
You have co-hosts, too.
I'd love to have you on there.
Well, I would love to come on.
Oh, you got to go on there.
Come and chop it up.
I saw that chick that was on there that day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bring a hot bitch when I come on.
Well, my host is, she's good. But, I mean, it's business because we help people, dudes.
I would love to come through.
I get dudes to come and call questions, ask questions.
Well, so listen, you're going to get listeners now after this podcast from our podcast. So go support Dante Nero's podcast, Beige Phillip.
Are you wrapping them up?
Yeah, I got to go to the gym.
And I feel bad. What time is it?
It's 12:40 or something. All
right.
I mean, I could listen to this guy all day, but I have a life to live.
All right. I want to know how. You can leave.
I want to hear what you're going to say.
I'm just going to say basics on how to walk up to a girl in a club and talk that shit. Basics.
I don't know if there's basics. Well, I can tell
what
you
is
this.
It?
You have
go to the bathroom. You guys continue.
You got to recognize what your value is. That's the first
my
basic
personal
thing.
Value or me the being on the radio and TV?
All of that is your personal value.
I know I get bitches off being on the radio and TV.
Right, but it's your personal dude. First of all, Cypher, you're a good dude.
Yeah.
Okay, you're a good dude. You're a good-looking dude.
I think so.
Okay, you're a kind dude, right? You've been places.
That's weakness, though.
I'm a kind dude.
Oh, okay.
I know that it's hard to read that through the last 20 minutes, but you know I'm a kind dude,
yes.
Man. You're also a dude who's interesting. Like, you've done things. You've been
lots
places. You've
traveled.
You've done things. You've,
full passport.
You know people. Like, you've come across people that other people would never, ever in a million years come across. You've been in situations that nobody would ever come across.
Got you.
And so you're an interesting dude who's intelligent, who's good looking, who is other women find you attractive.
Know any of those things though.
Yeah, but you know it.
I know it. Okay.
And the fact that your self-improvement is important to you.
True.
It's directly important to you. And so why would you ever be intimidated by any chick who probably doesn't.
I don't know. Why am I?
I don't know. Because you're not really looking at who you are as a person. Like, I've been with multiple women at one time. I've traveled. I've been places. I've performed in front of hundreds of people. I do stand-up. I've been in movies.
Bitch is a bartender. She's never been nowhere.
Right.
Whoever.
Or she's got a fat ass. Or she's 20. Who the fuck is she?
Right.
What has she done? What does she know?
She's done nothing.
Nothing. So why would you be intimidated by that? Why would you ever be intimidated? Do you realize as being a stand-up comic, when you go in front of an audience, you go in front of an audience of strangers and you put yourself up for judgment every second that you're on stage.
Absolutely.
And you do that over and over and over.
Constantly.
With the possibility that you could fail every time and every time you do well. And even if you don't, I failed. Even if you don't, if you fail, how bad
still
is it?
Still went up, though.
You still did it.
Still went
up. And then you do it again.
You do it again.
After you fail.
And an hour later.
What bitch is ever doing that? What bitch has constantly. The confidence to do that, to constantly put themselves under scrutiny second after second every day, day after day after. So when I look at a chick and I'm talking to some chick who's a real estate agent, she's 20 years old, and so she's got a little firm booty and some firm titties, like, bitch, who are you? What?
Okay.
Me being in your life upgrade, your life is better.
How do you tell her that?
You don't tell her. You just, if you go there first, it's like an acting technique. You go, I am the fucking shit.
I am the shit.
Right? And now you go, hey, what's up? And she goes, blah, 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 blah. And then when you read her inferences, she can feel your confidence.
But what about when you get like a little, you know, a little brush off, a little attitude or something?
Then you go harder than she goes. Then I go harder. I go harder. I go right.
Don't let it.
Goofy bitch, your nose. Why your nose like that? Because if a chick is aggressive like that and she's an asshole, it's usually because she, whenever somebody's insecure about what they are, who they are, it's because whenever they're nasty about who they are, it's because they're insecure about who they really are. So just point it out. And then what do you mean? I mean, I've told a girl, you're too nice. There's no way you want no part of me. I would twist your back. You don't want no part of me. I go, the minute I lick your booty, you're going to be no good. You're not going to want to go back to your man. Like, and she's like, how could you? How couldn't I? You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've never been with a woman that I didn't make her life better. And on purpose. I mean, I think that's what we're supposed to do as men anyway, is keep women safe and make them better as we make ourselves better. So with a real sincere place that you're coming from, how could she not want to be with you? And if she doesn't want to be with you, it's just because she's not smart enough to recognize. She's not smart enough to recognize.
But the non-smart ones usually got like a fat ass and shit.
Well, they all do. They all do.
The non-smart ones though, like.
But you learn your game gets better. You learn how to get better.
I'm out of the game. I'm just nostalgia.
I ain't gonna lie. Nostalgia. To you. Listen, your wife should know that other women find you attractive, because then she'll never.
She better
get
know. She better fucking know.
Right. She'll get slack. If she does, if she thinks you're not interesting to other people, she'll slack up, and why wouldn't she? I mean, we all do.
As she should. Look, this guy's name is Dante Nero. He's at a comedy club near you. He's online.
BeigePhilip.com.
Keep him in your hearts, ladies and gentlemen. Keep him in your hearts. No, thanks for coming through, D.
Thanks for having me, son.
And then we're going to go to your podcast.
Yeah.
And talk that shit.
We're going to get it coming to Pimp Cup.
That's what it is,
Pimp Cup? That's the studio. It's called the Pimp Cup.
One up.